Ram. I have never prayed you before. I have no tongue for it. No one, not even you, will remember if we were good men or bad. Why we fought or why we died. No. All that matters is that two stood against many. That's what's important. Valor pleases you, Kram. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, then the hell with you.
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up, and take it away. Take it away.
It's the Conan show. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Hey, this is Link on the today's episode. Today is today?
Today's
July the 13th, 2005, episode 92. Ooh, unbelievable we have made it this far. That's almost 100 weeks.
Well, on our way to countdown to show number 100.
That's right. Long time. Hey, we got a hell of a show for you tonight. I just don't know what the hell we're going to do. That's all. So,
swing it.
We have a hell of a show for you every night. Every Wednesday night.
We probably could. But.
Yeah. Wait till we get the asterisk server running. Then, you know, we could just all call in and bullshit from wherever we happen to be on the planet.
Asterisk server.
Asterisk, yeah.
You know, let's talk about the asterisk for a minute. The Aztecs.
The software itself is good.
It's the documentation.
It's the documentation. That's a pain in the ass.
It was one adventure after another getting that damn thing set up. You know what? You know what's crazy? Like, I go to set this thing up, right? Because you had it configured and it worked.
Right out of the box,
fine,
yeah.
And for the most part, it works. But then, you know, you go to the Aztecs at home, you know, quick start guide. New user guide. You start reading through the documentation, and basically nothing on there about BroadVoice.
No.
Other than go to BroadVoice's page for setting it up.
And
BroadVoice's wiki, I think they have a wiki or something or a page, that's outdated information.
Yeah, there was versions.
Right, so you got to go to, like, Geek News had a posting or something about it, and you follow the directions there.
What I notice is, like, the Linux Voice over IP page, there's, like, a ton of wikis. But it's, like, very, very repetitive stuff. There's a lot of overlap, and each one isn't very detailed or it's off. It needs to be cleaned up.
It is, because if you look in, like, the older documentation does not have the AMP stuff, the AMP Asterisk Management Portal stuff. And if you look at the Asterisk Management Portal stuff, they don't really let on that, you know, the configuration files that you go into the Etsy Asterisk directory.
Uh-huh.
Are now, there's like two for every one file. There's the original, like the sip.conf.
It's like a mirror of it.
Right, and then there's sip_additional.conf, which is what the AMP, I believe, sets up as a sip_additional.
Right, what the AMP is, for people who don't know, what Asterisk are not familiar with it is, it's a real nice web interface where you can go in and you can monitor the Asterisk server. You can see the activity that's going on. You can go in and configure all the different configuration files. It's a nice, you know, whole interface to the whole system when it works.
It is nice. Now, what ended up happening with the first round that I had problems with getting the BroadVoice connection to work properly to dial out was I'd sit there and I'd be, you know, configuring it like they had on there, and I'd test those settings. And it wouldn't work. Then I configure it again and play around. I go to a different site. Each site, like I said, the BroadVoice documentation page, even though they said it was outdated, the information was different. But the information on Geek News...
Same thing there, aren't we?
Geek News was more up-to-date, but that still didn't work. Now, the wacky thing is, nowhere on these pages did I see that, you need to reload Asterix every time you make a change.
Yes.
Configuration.
Yep.
And, you know, Dingus here kind of ignored that red line.
The red thing up top.
That
yeah.
little thin red line that appears across
you
the
hit
top.
It.
That says you need to reload it. So after a couple hours of dicking around with this thing, I'm thinking to myself, I don't understand why I don't have to reload this thing. Because I went down, the first thing I did was I took all your settings, I just wiped them all out, and I started from scratch. And then I'm going back through, I'm like, I don't understand why I don't have to reload this thing. So I go over, and it's a Red Hat derivative, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's Red Hat.
Right? So I figure, well, I'm going to see if there's a service to start and stop. I go over to the init.d directory, nothing.
It's a little different.
No, it's not. There isn't a service that you start and stop. So then I'm like, okay, I go over and I type in asterisk and I hit the tab key twice and then there's an asterisk reload command. So, you know, I reload
Oops.
Asterisk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why didn't I read this in any of the documentation? About having to reload asterisk?
Because the documentation is lousy.
Which is, you know, which is one of the major problems with Linux in general,
yeah.
I think, is that documentation sucks.
Well, actually, if you read a lot of the config files, all the information is really in there, but it's written from the assumption that you know voice over IP configuration
in the
first place.
Assumption that you wrote the program,
like,
right?
Well, yeah, because you know, if you look at, like, you know, the extensions.config file, and there's a couple other ones in there, I mean, there's everything under the sun. Everything you need is in that file, comment it out.
Uh-huh.
But you have to know
which combination,
the
right combination, except what you want up.
You know, actually, you know what really clued me in that I had to reload the damn thing? After I wiped out all the configuration,
the old setup was working.
Reset it up under new name. I finally went to the log file, and I did a tail-f on the full log file, and I watched. And as I dialed out a phone number, it loaded up the old configuration. I'm like, how the hell is it loading up the old configuration?
Yeah.
I deleted it. You know, so then after I figured that out, so we got this thing going, right? So we got it up and going, and the next thing was the conference calling.
Yeah, normally right out of the box you have the full conference room where people could go in. You could do like a conference call. For some reason, they were gone, all of them.
What I had to, after digging around for an hour and a half online, which the user guide for Asterisk at Home says, when you create a new extension, you automatically get a new conference. So if you just dial the 8 in front of that extension, that'll put you into a conference. So it sets up the Meet Me conference. So we tried this. It would never work.
Yeah,
what they don't tell you is you need the Zaptel driver loaded. So
uh-huh.
If you don't have a Zaptel card,
you need a dummy driver.
You need the ZT dummy
uh-huh,
module loaded. So I'm going through this damn thing, and this wasn't on the Asterix at Home. It wasn't on the Asterix main page. It was on some other guy's site, you know, somewhere.
Somebody who actually has it working.
And then there's like this wiki I found, and then I spent like an hour trying to figure out how to load this damn, you know, because I'm going through the Zap configuration. I'm running all this stuff, and then I'm like, finally, like, there's got to be a stinking module. Finally, I saw someplace listed. Load in ZT dummy module. So I type in mod pro ZT dummy. It's not there. It's not there because when you boot the Asterix at Home right here, you have two kernel choices, and one of them doesn't have the ZT dummy driver in. And that's what's been running all this time. So
whoops.
So I reboot into that other kernel.
Now, let me ask you, what time was this?
This was last night at about 1:30.
Maybe that was the problem.
And so then finally I got it in. And then it worked. Well, actually, I got it all set up. I thought it was all ready to go. It wasn't working. And I realized for some reason the module unloaded itself or it disappeared. So I just mod probed in the ZT dummy. And now we have extensions. So everything, or conferencing.
Now,
everything is working. And I reloaded it every time.
Do you have to do that manually every time? Or do you have it set up?
I hope not. See, now that it's running.
I just tossed one over there from O'Reilly, OnLamp. That I had used. I forgot all about it until just now.
Doesn't do him any good now.
Well, no.
Yeah,
if he has to play around with anything more, it may have some other information
in it
as well.
We got some tweaking to do.
Yeah.
We're very close.
Now that one's not using the amp or anything. That's actually editing the files, the config files. That integrates a dial-up line with the service as well. The voice over IP service as well.
One of the things I noticed when I was playing with it, when I had the server at my house, was that I set it so that it would record my phone calls automatically. And we did a conference call the week before I brought it over, you know, when it was on my network. And it didn't record for whatever reason. So there's probably more steps than need to be followed to get that working to record. Because supposedly it'll record directly to MP3 when you do a conference, if you set it up that way. So that would be a nice feature, you know. Say we do a call, we can have a backup of the conversation. For whatever reason, the quality of the call sounds like crap. You know, we have a good quality backup of the file that we can always, you know, go in and edit the show.
Edit the show?
And just drop it in. It's nice to have.
Edit the show.
You know?
I mean yeah. We haven't edited the show in 92 episodes.
Didn't we just have, like, discussions?
In Boston, we edit the show.
Well, that's true.
Weren't there discussions on the forum about that recently?
Yeah. Well, we're very close. The sound quality from what we've heard so far is pretty good. You know, calling to a regular...
Except when we record it, we still have a problem going on there.
The volume's a little funky. We're going to work that out. But the actual quality of, like, talking to somebody on a real phone is so much better than Skype out.
Oh, yeah.
It's night and day. You'll notice it.
Except for I wouldn't know, because, unfortunately, I have this really odd problem where, like, if somebody calls me using the asterisk box... I can hear everybody, everything's fine, right? I can hear them, they can hear me. If I call out to the asterisk box from, like, I use an X10 client, X10 Lite at home, I will call out through my firewall to the asterisk server, hit the asterisk server, and call out from there, and I cannot hear anything.
You mean the voice
box? Everybody at, like, the second party, the party that I called, can hear me fine.
But you can't hear them.
I cannot hear them. I have no idea why. It's driving me crazy. So
I think it has something to do with the firewall settings.
No, it doesn't.
No? You know what it is?
Put it on a static IP. And
one thing I noticed was I went in with the X10 Lite client, and I was leaving voicemails on you guys and my mailboxes. I could not retrieve them. So yesterday from work, I called into the box. I left myself a voicemail. Sounded perfect. Could hear it perfectly. It's something to do with the X10 client. We got to figure out.
Wait a minute. You called from your house and left a voicemail.
I called from. Actually, I did it a couple different ways. I called from my house into the asterisk box using the X10 client. I called out to my voicemail at work and I left a message. That sounded fine. Okay. And then I tried at work. I called in through a phone. I left a voicemail on the asterisk voicemail for my extension. That sounded fine. The problem is when you guys call me, I can't hear it. I don't know. I've left you guys messages too.
Wait. I have, from my work, I have no problems at all with anything. Now, it sounds like almost exactly what Link is saying. You can leave a message.
Yep.
No, but he said he could leave a message, but he can't hear it back.
I can't hear
a voicemail through the X10 client.
I was able to from the X Lite client leave myself a voicemail message.
Were you able to hear?
Did you get it back?
Yeah, I got it back.
Did you change any of the firewall settings?
Not to my knowledge. I didn't.
Now, did you hear the?
It didn't pop up on a menu.
Pick up
I didn't
and
bother.
Tell you to leave a message.
Yes.
You did. Well, see, that's not your problem, though.
You see, I think it might be a couple different things. It might be the ports that we got to open up on the firewall. That might be an issue. And it might also have to do with the actual firewall settings in the X-Lite client.
Well, see, the thing is, how come it works no problem for Alan and myself?
Yeah, mine, when you fire it up, it says discovering firewall and
no
connects. And
you don't have to open up any of the ports on your router?
No, I didn't bother to do anything.
Maybe that's my problem.
I'm lazy.
Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I should just close it out.
I didn't do anything special either. I just have, you know, my regular...
The Linksys box is more or less locked up for me, but...
That's what I have, a Linksys box. Yeah.
Now, another interesting thing is, I have a sinking suspicion you do not need to open firewall ports...
I shouldn't have
...for the Asterisk server, because there is a setting in Asterisk that if you are behind a NAT, you turn on... You give it the external IP address and then the internal IP address. But if you are port forwarding through your NAT, you need to turn off the NAT setting.
Maybe that's the problem.
So you need to set the asterisk to say NAT equals never or no. But that's on the asterisk.
That's what I'm going to do then. I'm going to close all the ports and do never.
But you shouldn't have any ports open because you're not port forwarding anymore.
No.
To the Asterisk server. But that wasn't in the Asterisk documentation. I found that on a... To my knowledge, I couldn't find it. I found it on a posting on one of their mailing lists.
It's got to be something, man.
We're going to talk to the Asterisk at home people and talk about documentation because that seems to be a weak point. The software itself, once you get it working, is really good, man.
Well, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's awesome. It really is awesome. And maybe we can actually talk to the Asterisk guy.
You know what?
From
even though we're on the air and talking about this crap, our sponsor, who is again, Pat?
Telephonyware.com.
Yes, sir. Telephonyware.com, who has sponsored us by giving us a...
Sephora 3000 ATA digital analog converter, which I brought, by the way, right
cool.
here.
Cool. So
do you have that? I want to check it
nifty
out.
Nifty little toy. Go check them out. This thing is really cool. But anyway, Pat, what I wanted to say was these guys not only have decided to sponsor us by sending us that package, they told us that they would give us Asterisk support.
Really?
Didn't they?
Well, he talked to us about giving the support for configuring the Sephora box.
He said that they would give us free Asterisk support via SSH or something like that. So what I'm thinking is since you have already spoken to them, why don't you ask them about our specific problems and see what...
I'll see what he says. The guy is very helpful. The guy who I was talking to over is this guy, Rich Bodo, who we should probably talk to eventually.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him once we start playing with this thing, and I'll shoot him an email. Tomorrow.
And by the way, if you guys are listening, sorry we haven't gotten your information up under the sponsor section of the page. We're in development of a new website, so just hang in there.
Excuses.
That's not excuses.
Just hang in. That's a damn good excuse, man. You have any idea how many web pages?
Clap. Apple clap.
For all those people who have requested it, there's your post-production at work.
It's over. Shut up. Just shut up.
Crumb.
He's a little stressed.
Hey! It seems that we have had a slight technical difficulty. We're actually back on the air now. Well, on the virtual binary air right now. We had a little technical difficulty with some power outage kind of thing going on over here.
So anyway, we have the MP3.
Yep.
First part. No, we're doing on the second. I changed the name. Lost all the Audacity files.
Lost the Audacity stuff? As long as we have the MP3s, we're good.
You know what? It's a freaking laptop here. And the cord came out. And the power just sucked right down. And went, it's just...
Dude, my
crusty the strange thing about it was mine at least stayed up.
Yeah. His stayed up the whole time. Mine stayed up the whole time and ran.
Oh, I think
and
I was
Dan's new Apple laptop.
The light was blinking really, really fast. So I think it was right before you turned it back on, I would have died.
See, the thing that got crazy, and you know what I hate about this, and this is a problem with the PPC, particularly laptops, is if they go into a low power mode, it's almost impossible to bring them back up again. And that's what happened on this. It was still running, but, you know, everything gets shut down.
That's some
it won't come back
there,
up.
Huh?
So I'll just have to, you know,
yeah, shit happens,
it all together.
Man. What are you gonna do?
When I'm finished.
It's good old-fashioned entertainment.
Lemonade.
This, folks, by the way, is why you want to make sure you listen to us live. Yes, this is a live show, and this kind of shit happens.
Flubs.
But if you're listening to us live when this shit happens, then, like, before we start
the
recording again,
had.
You get to hear everybody bitching and freaking out. And see, you all missed that because we weren't recording. So you'll have to, you know. You'll have to ask somebody who was listening about
now,
how
if you
funny want to really
donate
was.
Some money so we can get some extra UPSs.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
We that need, would be nice.
We need server stayed up, but the DSL went down.
Big freaking
there's
UPSs.
There's nothing you can do about
man.
That, right?
What?
The DSL. To keep it on.
Well, if I plug it into the UPS.
So you need another UPS, basically.
Or another power.
You know, it's quite possible the switch went down, too. So
that's true, too. Then you're dead in the water.
You got to have the switch up. We got to be able to keep the audio equipment up, all the servers up. The DSL's got to stay up. So in order to do that, we would need to have a Mondo UPS.
I don't know. Do we want to put a donation button? PayPal? Do we want
to
do that?
I used to have UPSs, but then the batteries all ran out.
They die after a while.
Yeah, so now, you know, and you buy a UPS now. Remember, we got those for like $30?
Oh, yeah? Yeah,
no,
that's
right.
It
was 18, was $18, wasn't it? Like, the one I had ran was running really fine, so I didn't have a use for the second one for a while, and I took it to DEF CON. And then, like, a month after I took it to DEF CON, it died.
Died.
The other one died. And now, you know, I only have one UPS. And it's just like, you got to that point where it was going off all the time.
Right.
And, you know, it was just like.
You went and disconnected the buzzer.
Yeah. I tried that, but then it just would shut down my machine after.
Do we want to give out our asterisk phone number so people can leave us voicemails?
Well, yeah, well, you got to explain that whole thing first because, you know, some the people that are listening to the recording weren't listening to
okay.
us while we were.
Basically, what can happen with what the asterisk servers, we're using BroadVoice as the voice over IP. And what it is we have a real phone number. Should I give it out?
Yeah.
Okay, the real phone number for the tech show, are you ready? It's area code 484. 549-1577. I'll repeat that one more time, and Link will post it to the chat.
Yep.
It's 484-549-1577. And when you connect...
And remember, it's a free call if you call from work.
Dial extension...
That's right.
Dial extension 100, which is the main extension number, and you can leave a voicemail, and we might...
No. That automatically goes to the extension 100.
Dan changed the message, no? Does it automatically go to 100?
It automatically goes to 100, doesn't it?
No, you got to pump in 100.
Got to dial.
You get. I just did a generic.
Oh, you get the menu.
Yeah.
Right?
I get a generic. Gave it a generic digital receptionist that says, "You reached the Linux Link Tech Show."
You did your best female voice.
Yeah, that was my.
So when you
actually, it was just a test to see how.
So when you dial into extension 100, which is our main extension, or you can dial into the other extensions and leave us personal voicemails.
Right. You can leave us some voicemails which are actually recorded on the asterisk. Server, and we can get those, and by golly, you know, we could play them on the air. We could, you know, I don't know.
Well, eventually...
Put them on the internet and make fun of you. I don't know, something.
As soon as we get all the issues worked out, we'll probably provide some guest extensions for people to come in during the show.
Right.
Where they can connect with the X10 X-Lite client or any other SIP client, soft mm-hmm. client that you want to use, and you're able, you know, maybe we can have listener call-ins again. You know, using your soft client, or you can dial in with a regular phone number, and we'll pull you into the conference, and we'll talk to you on the air.
What he said.
And the quality is so much better than Skype, people. Mm-hmm. Trust me when I say it.
Pat's going to hang on for Skype.
Listen,
so he's dissing the Skype.
Skype is cool for what it is, man.
We've been using Skype for a long time, but you know what?
Going to a regular landline, man, it freaking blows most of the time.
Better.
Alan is
anyway,
going and doing it as we
you know,
speak.
But, also, please call with your donations of UPSs. And
I don't know. Do we want to do that? Do we want to go that route? Do we want to have a PayPal
contact
donation?
Contact Dan. Send them straight to him.
Hey, this is a test message.
Alan, leaving a message.
Big ass UPSs so that we can do the tech show. Yeah.
It's actually UPAT on there answering the phone.
If you hear my voice, that means the asterisk server is down.
Well, it went to you then.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The
gotta start that sucker up.
That's a problem then.
That's another button to push.
If you hear my voice on the main extension, that means that the server is down and it's rolling to the broad voice voicemail. You should hear Dan's voice.
Oh, baby.
Dan doesn't have it running. There we go. Now we're coming up. Give us a couple minutes, and then
all
you can
right.
call in.
Yeah,
a
couple minutes, you'll be able to call into that, too. And then, you know, a few minutes later, maybe we'll find another server of Dan's that's down still.
Now, Dan, did the hard drive actually die in this, or no?
No, the cable was
loose. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I should have gone in and changed that grub menu.
Anyway, hey, should we, we need to get a hold of Alan.
Yeah, we're getting there. Hey, you know what?
It's
we're not
like,
on BIMREV anymore
like
now.
No, so we
yeah, but
talking.
I still got to get up and go to work in the morning, man.
Oh. What time do you get up, Mike?
6.
Oh, I got up at 4.
Go for you.
Oh. Alan, what time do you get up?
You make more money than I do. I'm not getting up at 4.
20
you have to pay
four.
Me a lot more for that.
Nah, look at their ZT dummy module.
Ooh, look at that. It's pretty.
Did you get rid of that line for the Digium detection? By default, what it does is the Digium people who put out asterisks, they have a default module that probes for Digium hardware. So if you have Digium hardware, that's cool. But if you don't, you get this error message when it boots up.
I know I've said this before, but you guys, you know, you really got to check this audio compressor out because the blinky lights are really freaking impressive, man.
It's pretty.
Lots of reds and greens.
I sit right next to it, and it flashes across and blinkies at you. It's awesome. I like it.
Some steady yellows. You know,
I need to have
a little orange once in a while. Some reds.
It's only when the big red one is when the limiter actually cuts you guys off. You speak loud.
Look at that. It does work.
Yeah, I've got the limiter set to, like,
that's what's cool
clip
about
everything at zero.
Okay, our asterisk server is on, so you should be able to call in there now.
What's that noise, Dan? Is that you?
Dan's,
you are currently the only person in this conference.
Okay.
Oh, and conferences are working, too.
Oh, okay, boy.
He's all right.
Start calling and start leaving messages.
Rooms, yeah.
And leave your messages for us.
Now, listen.
No, wait. Go in a conference room real quick. Get back in a conference room, and we should tell someone to call via their landline and see if they can hit us.
They can't get in. I tried it. They can't. We got to do a setting to allow people into the conference room.
Oh, really? No, that sucks.
I am unavailable now, so please leave a...
that would be my message.
How about mine?
Is unavailable.
That's Alan.
I have mine.
Yeah, well, I tried to record my name on there, but I was stuck in, like, voicemail hell.
01 is unavailable.
That's Pat.
I have it set up, though.
You thought you did.
I guess not.
The person at extension.
And there's mine. And this is what happens when we call in.
Yo, you've reached Tech Show. Extension 100 for the Tech Show. 101 for Pat, 102 for Link, 103 for Alan, 104 for Dan. We'll get back to you if we're not on. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
That was just a test.
Dan, is that your hip? Is it your hip?
Dan going
voice?
For the thug voice there. The thug voice.
His hip hop voice.
Yo,
B.
Yo.
Where to your mother's?
And it is, you know, it is conceivable that, you know, a little later at night, if you called in on that phone number and hit my extension or possibly Pat's or maybe Dan.
You might be on there.
We might actually be on here and answer the damn phone. Woo.
I only have an hour early
making phone sex calls on Pat's credit card.
Yeah, I'm making
busy
doing that.
Pat says no. But Alan says yes.
One of the nice things about Broadcom is they have, as well as the Asterisk server, there are extensive logs of all the phone calls, who called, how long they called.
And there's a nice little delete button. You can just delete the logs.
Yeah.
We all just give Dan a quick call. Hey, Dan,
not,
delete the song.
Not on the Broad Voice.
But you know what?
Dan.
You know what I do is I just configure my SIP phone to log in as Alan.
You can do that.
Yeah,
sure.
Mean, call. And then pass, like, every week.
Alan, what the?
Give it out of the dirty look.
Why is your $750 going to, you know, 900 porn numbers?
Let me
right?
just explain. We got the most basic service. Just to try it out until we're happy with it, it's $5 a month. We get 100 minutes of dial-out time, okay, to landline.
We've used that for testing.
So far, we used about 40 minutes of testing.
Holy mackerel.
Really
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. We've been playing with it for like the last week.
So you got 100 minutes a month. We've used 40 minutes in 4 days.
Now, if we go up to the $20 plan, it's unlimited in North America and Europe. And I think Australia, too. So we'll try it out, and if it works out, we'll upgrade.
Yeah.
To get it going, it was pretty cheap.
I don't think we really need that, though. Like, once we get it going and everything's good, I think people can just freaking
call us.
You know, call us via... We'll set up a number, and they can call us, you know, via SIP.
Yeah, once we go in and configure the guest accounts, we'll post the guest account information.
Yeah, they can
and then you guys can you can connect
software SIP phone
exactly.
thing or something.
And it won't cost you a damn thing.
Won't cost us.
Won't cost anything. And if people want to call on a phone number, it doesn't cost us. It's a call to you. You will get charged if you call the number because it's long distance 484, which is kind of odd. They didn't have our local. Area code, a local area code over here in Lehigh Valley, 610. They didn't have that. So I took 484. That's what they offered. But what else? Yeah, we'll cut over, and it'll hopefully be much better than Skype. I mean, we could still use Skype for people that want to use Skype because it's a little more common nowadays.
Yep.
And we tell them no!
And then maybe we'll get the Asterisk people on, and the Asterisk at home people, and we'll yell at them for the documentation, or the lack of thereof.
All right, Gorkon wants pictures of the audio compressor, so you gotta...
Compressor.
You gotta take care of that there, Alan.
Yeah.
Oh, should I whip out the video camera? We can just pipe it right out, a live feed.
Nah, don't kill your bandwidth, man.
Yeah, why not, huh?
Especially for using the phone, man.
Get that going too.
I don't know. Do we want to speak to Alan Hicks about Slackware in his book?
Alan, his DSL died on.
Are you? Are you still there, like Alan?
He's been on.
Alan Hicks.
Going.
Alan Hicks, come on down.
Going.
Dan, you put Skype back up?
No, not yet.
No, maybe that's a problem.
That would do it, yes.
I think we're going to try the ASRIC server maybe next week. We just had some issues we were testing where
humming.
The audio levels of a phone call.
All right, Alan says he's been born ready.
Was a little low, so we need just to tweak it a little bit to get the asterisk levels, you know, us and the person
Alan's
on the call.
Skype address thingy.
Yeah, yes, I'm getting that all ready to go in just a minute. Yo, chill.
So Alan wrote a Slackware book, right? Or it's coming out?
Yeah, you know what? Before we get to Alan, speaking of books, we never did the review of Mozilla Firefox Thunderbird. Mozilla.
Firefox and Thunderbird Garage.
Yes. I read it. It's a nice book. A little on the entry level kind of deal.
It is. It's the kind of book that would be. Most technical people are way past the level of this book. However, this would be a great book to give somebody like my mom. You know what I mean? If you wanted to stop using IE or something, because you know how insecure it is, you wanted to use Firefox.
I actually found
Thunderbird. You get, it has a lot of good low-level explanation for simple things to do in your mail, and it explains things a lot.
I actually found something useful.
That was pretty good. Did you really?
Yeah, I found a thing where if you have a Hotmail account, you load up an extension, and you can connect to your Hotmail account. And they also have other ones for Yahoo and a couple of the other ones.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it works. It's pretty cool.
Hell yeah, man.
Who
has a Hotmail account?
I do. I have one that I've had for like years.
My wife has one. I have a Gmail account. And
you know
a Netscape
what
account and
off?
A Juno account and a lot of accounts.
We had a training today at work on something called the eSchool Mall, a browser-based thing for doing purchase orders and purchasing and stuff. And at the bottom, when you go to the login page, guess what it says at the bottom?
What does it say?
It says, we can't guarantee this will work with your client because we only support Internet Explorer or Netscape Navigator 7.0.1, and we're running Firefox. Get with the program. That's just sloppy coding. Because what is Netscape?
Link, would you like another?
Nah, I'm good. I got to drive, man.
Mozilla with...
Oh, yeah, by the way, Brew of the Night,
expensive wrapper,
folks,
around it.
Is J.W. Dundee's original Honey Brown.
From Rochester, New York.
Yes, from Rochester, New York. J.W. Dundee's original Honey Brown. Actually, not bad.
Not bad at all.
And my water of the night is from Giant.
There you go.
Acadia.
And Giant water.
Filters.
Oh, now look at this, man.
And Wawa. Wawa.
All right.
Wawa water.
Wawa water.
You know where they fill that then? In the toilet in the back room.
That's right.
They probably do.
Wawa.
You know what happens when I drain the bottle? I go in the back room and fill it in the toilet too. So it's a never-ending refill. And then do you refill your bottles of water?
Sometimes. I haven't done that in a while, but...
If you refill them after like a week or so, they start to smell funny.
Plastic?
Yeah. It's the bacteria from you drinking out of it.
Yeah, it really starts to stink.
You have to fill them all the way to the top and then cap them.
But then you stick them in the freezer and they explode when you try and open them.
But don't put it in the freezer.
Well, I want it in the freezer.
Speaking of Wawa, are you guys familiar with Stewart's? I know Link knows Stewart's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Stewart's is actually like a convenience store in upstate New York, and they have their own ice cream.
Yep.
If you ever go skiing, like, you know, any of those places upstate New York.
Good stuff, man.
You always see them on the side of the roads and the local roads.
You know what you do? You refill
down
the bottle
to
after
Lebanon
about a week and a half, then you leave it out in a hot car for another week, then you pop it open and you take a big whiff of it.
Jesus.
Then you drink it, and you don't have to go to work the next couple of days.
I was going to say, yeah.
Oh, is that what happened, Dan?
All right, let's get Alan.
Let's get Alan on.
Yeah, we got to get some technical content
of the Slackware Linux Essentials book, second edition.
Nice.
which we would love to review. Unfortunately, and nobody sent us a copy.
Yeah,
yet.
We want copies. At least three or four.
Yeah, we gotta have some copies of this, man.
There we go.
There's the Skype noise.
Where's Alan anyway?
Melbourne,
Australia. Is he?
Hey.
How you doing, Alan?
Alan. Hello.
Hey, y'all there?
Yep.
We hear you.
We're all here.
I'll crank it back up again.
Alan, where are you located?
Did you guys set the mixer up since the power went down over here?
What do you mean set the mixer up?
Any mixer settings on your box?
Are you there, Alan?
Box?
The joys of Skype. Dying to get Asterix for working 100%.
Let's try it.
Yeah, bump it up a little. Oh, no, I'm going up. I'm going down, not up.
Hey, Alan, you there?
Hey, y'all there?
Yeah, we're here. You there? Can you hear us?
Nope.
Oh, well, some technical difficulties once again.
Skype fucking sucks,
this is
man. Piece of shit.
Sucking, man.
Asterisk.
Hold on a second, Alan.
We're gonna try and get right back a hold of you.
Oy vey.
Let's make sure it's not on our end because we've had this happen before. Let's do a quick echo test to see if we can get it. Nothing like doing it live.
You know, yep. I missed the Estonian chick or Lithuanian chick, wherever the hell she was.
Hello, welcome to Skype call testing service.
Ooh, that's backing up on me.
After the beep, please record a message of up to 10 seconds. Afterwards, your message will be played back to you.
10.
I just want
9,
to let you know, Skype
8,
lady, that my ass hurts
7,
from sitting on his hard chair. Thank you.
Skype
5,
sucks.
Sit on Alan's
4,
hand.
4, 3, 2.
Maybe that's why
1.
It hurts.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it was pretty good.
You got to sit your Alsa mixer, Dan.
This is not my Alsa mixer.
Ooh.
Yeah,
got
but the problem
nothing
is
going on.
The Alsa mixer is not muted, and everything is up.
Gorkon says his ass hurts too.
Hello?
The awesome mix. Everything. I had this problem the other day.
Microphone up? Over
everything
here?
Is up.
You're on the mic input?
Alan, are you on mic input or on line input?
Hey, Alan,
mic line,
Alan, where are you located?
Muted.
No, but what are you using for your recording stuff?
It's going through the.
Use AU mix and figure out which one that you're actually... You're probably trying to pull it in through mic, and you need to pull it in
I don't know. Do we want to try Asterisk?
I do that all the time. When I record my TV, you know, I got a TV tuner card in my box, my Linux box, and the TV tuner card sound comes
minute.
Through line in. And when my computer reboots, if I ever have to shut it down, when it reboots and comes back up again, the mic input is the one that's always selected as the input. So I have to change the default input back to line. And once it's on line one, then, you know, I'm
your
good
program,
to do it again. Yeah.
Your program that you have for recording there, if you log out and have a cron job running, will it record the sound for you?
I
know you never log out. So.
I never do it through a cron job. I usually use
even the app.
At.
Yeah, well, even at.
Yeah.
If you log completely out.
I know you never log out. So.
I never do. Holy crap.
What the hell is that?
That hurt.
Somebody just killed a moose.
That was me testing the.
Because I got to figure that one out still, because mine still doesn't do that.
We're really loud.
Oh, mine is
well, I know we're really loud. I had to turn it up for the. Skype
call. Yeah, that wasn't the problem. The problem was setting somewhere.
Yeah, well, we'll need to turn it back up when we get onto Skype.
That's it, man. Time for me to stand up. My ass is hurt.
Alan Hicks, where are you located?
Well, it's not going to be able to, like, anyone going to be able to hear him.
No, he can type it back, man.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you can type him a message, man. Ask him where he's located. Maybe we can...
Did you run AU Mix on there, Dan, and see what your... settings are for your recording settings.
It's coming through the mic right now.
It should be coming through your line in.
I know it's going through the mic.
Hello. Welcome to Skype call testing service. After the beep, please record a message of up to 10 seconds. Afterwards, your message will be played back to you.
Here we go. Boy, this is an interesting show, huh?
Skype sucks.
Eight.
At least for Skype out.
You can, six. You can feel five, that you are virtually
four,
here with us.
Three.
Pissing with
two,
a bunch of computers.
One. That was a little off.
Interesting show, huh?
Skype sucks.
There we go.
Eight.
We should be able to call that one now.
Out.
You can,
six,
you can feel
five,
that you are virtually
four,
here with us.
Three.
Okay, we're good.
Alan says.
Let's call Alan.
All right.
Ringy dingy.
But wasn't the. We didn't call anybody, that's right.
All right.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Alan, I'm sorry about that. That was my fault there.
Hey, that's the way they go sometimes, right?
Yeah.
It's the way it goes a lot of times, actually.
Alan, where are you located?
Liesville, Georgia. That's,
okay.
If you go down to Macon and head west, straight out into the swamp, for about 15 miles, that's where I live.
Do you have the mountain people living next door?
Oh, no, we don't have any mountains here.
No, it's swamp.
He lives next to the swamp thing.
You don't need mountains to have mountain people.
So tell us about this. Yeah, tell us about this book.
Well, if you've been around Slackware for a while, you probably remember the original Slackware Linux Essentials that was authored by David Cantrell, Logan Johnson, and Chris Lumman.
Right.
Used to be available at store. About 2 years back, me and some other boys over in alt.os.linux.slackware started, just wasn't doing good anymore. You know, Slackware had moved on to version like 8.0 and 8.1. It's so much game those 2 or 3 years. And, we decided to start up a project to revise it. You know, the original book, was actually under the GPL, which was, really nice, you know. And, we were able to start with some of the work and expand on some of it, revise a bunch of it. Took about 2 years to actually do this because, you know, documentation ain't fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I asked documentation sucks. Because docs ain't fun.
Right.
Well, but, we're big Slackware fans. We've been using it for quite a while over here.
Yeah, always fun to talk to other Slackers.
But, so when do we get our review copies? That's what I want to know.
You can order them from
store.slackware.com. You can also read the whole book online, too.
Can you?
Now, is that the revised one?
It's available in, like, a single HTML page, split HTML. You can also get it in a doc book, PostScript, and PDF.
Oh, that's outstanding. Can you, we get you to throw the link up on there.
Somebody. I'll throw the link up.
Somebody throw the link
Daniel
up.
Daniel, throw the link up.
That's good stuff. I mean, yeah, I can feel my, works printer humming tomorrow, right? 900 page PDF rolling
that's
up.
What
that's
what those work printers
morning,
are for,
right?
Man. To print out anything you want.
Hell,
yeah,
I use Slackware at work.
It's only about 260 pages, so
oh,
you
well,
get that inside of
range. Yeah, man, that's nothing but a drop in the bucket, right? Plus, I use Slackware at work, so hey, that's a legitimate thing.
Yes, legitimate.
Legitimate work expense.
Yeah, if you've been using Slackware for a while, you're probably a little bit past it. You know, the book is kind of geared towards newbies. You know, it talks about most of the basic things like configuring X for the first time. You know, VI and Emacs, but it doesn't really touch any of the really in-depth topics like configuring SendMail or Apache. You know, maybe in a third edition we can get to that, but, you know, just doing this first one is so much work.
Mm-hmm. Now, how up-to-date is this? Does this go, like, up through 10.1 kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, we actually finished it.
So when you're talking,
a couple months ago.
When you're talking about configuring X, you have like configuring Xorg kind of thing, right?
Oh yeah, it's like Zorg config or mm-hmm. Zorg comp. I don't ever play with X, so I don't remember all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a big rewrite because you know after 9.1, Slackware moved to Zorg along with most other distributions,
right?
And you know left old X386 in the dust.
Outstanding.
Is this the same book that is included as an electronic format in the official Slackware CD set?
Not at this time, because it wasn't finished then, but I imagine it will be, at least in HTML form in the future.
All right, because the one that was included, wasn't that the first edition? Or was that a completely different... Yeah, okay.
Now,
it used to be a... Go ahead.
Is this part of the official Slackware project, or is this something you guys did on your own and picked it up?
Well, it started out as something we did on our own. You know, it being GPL, we were able to just go out there and do it. You know, the whole scratch and itch thing. And it really kind of died to start with, because, you know, doing documentation isn't fun. You know, it's kind of a thankless job, like umpiring. But, you know, as time went on, we got more and more chapters up. I started talking with Pat. You know, he was all for it. And eventually, when we finally finished up, they made it an official Slackware project.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think the news item is still up on Slackware.com right under the new package browser.
Yes, it is. I saw it today.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I was kind of thrilled myself. That's, you know, not something you expect when you start out with something like this, you know.
So what are some of the things that we can look forward to in the update that's new?
In the update, well, there's actually a little brief listing in the front about, you know, things that have been updated, like, you know, the kernel with 2.6.
I think he just dropped out.
Hello?
Nope, he just dropped out. I'm pinging his site, and he's dumb.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, anyway, listen, guys. That was Alan Hicks, who is one of the authors of the second edition Slackware. What's?
Unless you want to try the Asterisk server.
Revised Slackware book project. Slackware. No, he dropped out.
Want to try the Asterisk server?
If he lost
over the phone.
He lost his connection.
There he is.
There we go.
Sir. Hello?
Welcome to a live radio show, huh?
Yeah.
Skype sucks.
This is what makes it interesting, though. Nobody else has these problems because they're pre-recorded.
Yeah, that actually wasn't Skype. That was my DSL. For some reason, over the last 24 hours, it's gotten flaky. You know, I never have trouble with it, but then, you know.
Well, it's hard to run them DSL cables way out in the swamp there, buddy.
Yeah.
Who's your provider?
It's actually a place called... Public Service Telephone Company.
Uh-huh.
And I swear to God, they used to be called Natnet. GNAT.net. And, I mean, this is Podunk Mom and Pop ISP here.
Uh-huh.
But really, the service has been phenomenal, considering, you know, it's expensive out here.
What do you pay?
I pay about $80 a month for one and a half down, 512 up, static IP.
I got to move out there now.
You got room next door, buddy?
Well, I, you know, just bought a new house, and I got an acre and a half that ain't covered by anything.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Yeah, tell me that in about 30 years when I get it paid off.
I hear you, man.
Now, do they let you run any services you want, or are they anal about running?
Yeah, when I got that small business account, they haven't really cared. Now, I have had a couple issues with them, like when they blocked outbound port 25, except through their own SMTP servers. But I chewed them out about that and, you know, offered to fix it for them. And they finally unblocked their small business subnet. They have, like, a different subnet for... their static IPs, and I assume they just unblocked it from all of those. But I mean, if you're paying a premium for small business, they ought not block anything, you know?
Seriously. That's for sure, yeah.
But y'all were asking earlier about changes from the first edition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's actually a little section in the preface about just a brief overview of some of the changes. Like, one of the big ones is that the very first book, first edition, didn't include anything on Emacs. And, of course, nobody used next, but nobody wants to write about it, right? Everybody's a VI fan.
Right.
But I actually tracked one down, a fellow by the name of Chief Kramers. He wrote the entire chapter 17 on Emacs, did a really good job. We updated the package management section to include like Slack build scripts, which started really getting used along 8.0. And, along the time at 8.0, 8.1, I think it was 8.1, the package utils changed to include like versioning information and args and things. We added a new chapter on some basic security, IP tables. I think there's a brief mention of IP chains and IP controls, things like that. We upgraded Chapter 5 to include Wi-Fi network and things. Every chapter's been touched to at least some extent, some to a pretty good one. But it was a lot of fun towards the end when you're starting to finish things up. I really can't complain at all. The people that run a FreeBSDmall.com, they gave us a good help with it. Murray Stokely, who's I think he's the FreeBSD Core Team Release Manager. Him and another guy really helped converting the thing over into DocBook, so we can make all the nice little outputs and do different kinds of HTML and PostScript and things. And that was, a big boom. Because before that, we were just writing it all out in HTML.
Right.
And there was really, no chance of getting it published because you can't just print HTML and put it in the book, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, it was a whole lot of fun. I did most of the editing. So, while I can't necessarily say I wrote the book on Linux, I can say I edited it.
That's outstanding, man.
Now, Slackware has removed GNOME from its main distribution in favor of having,
KDE.
Well, KDE, but he had Dropline and
There's also a GSB, which is a GNOME Slack build, and it's sort of like Dropline, only it's not so invasive. It won't like replace your entire X manager and things.
I understand.
I'm not a GNOME fan myself, so I'm like, more power to him. And I haven't really tried any of the others. I tried Dropline, a couple years ago, and I was scared off of that when it started.
I think we lost.
We dropped out again.
So who's still running Slack amongst us? I'm not running Slack anymore.
Who's
Alan?
Still running Slack amongst us?
Man, Slack.
I have more Slackware
installed. I have.
Well, I got rid of one box. It's
Slack
right
servers.
There.
Huh?
That's one box. That used to be a Slack box right there.
Yeah, I the server runs.
Here we go.
He keeps dropping on us.
Sir.
We lose you again.
Yeah.
That was just Skype this time. I've got a ping going back to my office and it never skipped a beat. But y'all were asking about GNOME there.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you're going to be including a chapter on that in the book at all in the future.
Probably not, especially not since it's included now.
Right.
Others, pretty project, and I want to kind of keep it, in the family, so to speak. Though I got no trouble, mentioning, I'm not going to go out and write the same thing about three different versions of all Slackware.
So you hang out a lot on the Alt OS Linux Slackware.
Slackware.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call it AOLS, not to be confused with AOL.
Yeah. Nah.
We don't like those AOLers.
Not at all, huh?
But, yeah, I'm one of the hated regulars there.
One of the wild dogs.
Yeah, something like that.
And,
I think we were accused of being Ku Klux Klan members today, something like that. It's crazy.
Now, overall, is that a friendly site, in your opinion? Friendly news group?
Sometimes, I want to say maybe as my answer.
RTFM?
Sometimes it's friendly depending upon who's in there, and, you know, how you ask your questions. We don't tend to tolerate fools very well, but if you come in and ask good questions, you know, show that you're willing to do a little bit of homework, though, it's a very friendly place, I think.
I've been on that off and on for the past couple of years, and I've never had a problem on that news group, and I found it to be pretty valuable and very worthwhile.
It's because you know your stuff.
Yeah,
I hide.
And, well, if you look at, like, I haven't looked at it in the last couple of hours, but a fellow, I believe his name is Sylvain Robinson, is asking a very intelligent question about increasing buffering on a couple of 15,000 RPM SCSI drives for an application. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that are typically going to get the best response they can get, but we have a bunch of trolls in there that just like to stir up trouble, and in general, they're best ignored.
Well, that's Usenet for you.
Every so often, I like to come in and post, I installed Slackware, and now I can't hear anything out of my speakers.
I'm sorry, what was that you broke up on?
I'm sorry. I said I like to come in and post, I just installed Slackware, and now I can't hear anything out of my speakers.
How do I configure my Ethernet card? I'm using Windows 98 to connect to the IRC channel.
Yeah. one of the nice things about being involved in the book is that you can tell them to RTFM and say you wrote it.
There you go.
And then, you know, when they come back and say, you know, the documentation's shoddy, you say, well, I wrote it, you fix it yourself. You know, if they can add something to it, I'm willing to add it. I'm actually not doing a whole lot of maintenance on the book right now. You know, it just released the whole second edition. I'm trying to take a little time off and all that. You know, projects like that, they can sap a lot of your energy.
That's understandable. Now, you're you have listed at the bottom of the book that the officially recognized Slackware forum is over on linuxquestions.org. Do you spend any time over there on linuxpackages.net? Do you use them as a resource, and do you write your own Linux packages?
Typically what I wind up doing when I need to create my own software packages that aren't part of Slackware, like, say, Squid, for instance, which isn't a part of the Slackware install. I'll look around for a Slack build script, and I'll modify that to my taste. If I can't find one, I'll generally write one myself, you know, use that to compile, configure, and make the package. And then, you know, I just continually reuse that same Slack build every time I have to, you know, do another machine, which is particularly helpful for work with things like, well, Squid is my example. I've done a couple of caching transparent proxy servers with that, and it's nice to be able to just look up the latest version, increment the version number in the Slack field, and just run it, come back in a few minutes, have a nice little package there waiting on me. But in general, I don't trust third-party packages much, just because there's not really much accountability. I like Slackware because I can trust the dude that makes it to do a good job. I mean, when you've got, we're looking at what, almost 12 years since Slackware 1.0 was released. I mean, a 12-year track record tends to engender trust with me.
Very, very true there.
How long you been running Slack?
I actually started with Slackware, Slackware 1.1. Probably late 2000. Didn't really get started with Linux or computers much in general in a professional sense until just after 9/11 when I got a job doing network engineering. I just BS my way right into that job. I didn't know nothing at the time. I learned pretty quick. I've been doing that for ever since, coming up 4 years now.
Dan has been pushing Slackware on the guys in our lug for, I don't know how many years now, 4 or 5 years now, Dan?
Yes.
At least.
I remember when Link was still in the Red Hat days. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And they're still not smart enough to use it?
A lot of us do use Slackware.
I was about to say, if they're still not smart enough to use it, it's time to get another lug.
Yeah.
Slackware lug.
You actually go into building packages in your second edition, the second edition of the book that you edited and helped write. You had mentioned that you go out looking for build scripts for Slackware. Now, is there are there some sites that you might recommend, or is it just you go looking for through the Google searching for a Slackware build script for Squid?
Well, the very first one I always go to is Google, but there's another good one. Let me see if I can pull that up. I tried to do them earlier today, but I couldn't get it. I'm trying to find the URL. It's called Slack Confidential, and it's ran by a man named George Lucas, who used to be really big at AOLS. He's an Aussie, and most of their stuff's pretty good. I want to say it's something like slackpack.triplegnet.au, and that's a triple G spelled out, and that's where you can find a lot of really good build scripts that have been contributed. Like I grabbed there from PostFix not so long ago, and we just little kind of tweaked like the first time everything worked out. But yeah, I just gave that website another try, slackpack.triplegnet.au, where it's an Australian site, and everything seems to be working good now, so maybe they had a little glitch earlier today.
All right. So what do you do for a living?
I'm a network engineer, which basically means I work on networks and have nothing to do with engineering. But I work for a little small company called CTS Macon, Custom Technology Solutions of Macon,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, Macon, Georgia. Very imaginative there. But we mostly do work for businesses, some government agencies, administering their networks as a... basically hourly, I won't say tech support, but more like hourly sysadmin stuff, which has been working really good for us. I've only been with this company since it started about 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years November, and we've been doing pretty good.
You know, I don't know if you're paying attention to the chat, but there was an interesting question that's coming. It's asked of a lot of people, and it's something that Slackware users are kind of familiar with and know that a default install of Slackware is usually a lot faster and speedier and cleaner than a default install of most of the other distributions like Red Hat, SUSE and Mandrake,
Ubuntu.
And Ubuntu. Now, a question always comes up from people who don't run Slackware. They say, well, why is it? What makes it faster? Would you like to answer that question, Alan?
Not one that's necessarily easily answered, because, I mean, to start with, you have to answer, you know, what's the default install? You know, Slackware is divided up into different disk sets, which is sort of a holdover from the old floppy disk install days. We could download just, you know, like an A set, very basic floppies, and then you can download A, B, D for like development. But I'm kind of digressing. So you can, you know, really mark out, you know, different sections. But if you're talking about a complete full install of everything, as for why it's a little bit faster, one, you don't have as many things. You know, Slackware will come on two CDs, and that's with X, KDE, and GNOME. If you don't really need KDE and GNOME, you can get everything on one CD. Whereas if you look at, like, a Debian install or a SUSE install, if you want to put all that stuff on, you've got six, seven CDs or a full DVD worth of packages before you can get to it. So I think that's one thing. Another is you're not really held back by the whole dependency managing as far as install goes. Like, I'll use Red Hat here for an example. With a install, say, mod SSL with Red Hat, and I'm just making this up off the top of my head, it'll have like a dependency on OpenSSL and Apache. And anytime you check that you want to install, say, OpenSSL, it has to go through all those checks to see if Apache and OpenSSL are already marked. And, you know, Slackware just doesn't bother with all that. If you want to install something, you tell it to install, it assumes you know what you're doing and just installs it. If you left some dependency out, you're on your own. I think that's another one of the big things, is that you just don't have all that overhead running through the CPU.
Right.
Most distros give you, you know, everything in the kitchen sink.
Right. And one thing that I, in addendum to what you just said, one thing that I wanted to bring up was that, and nobody ever makes mention of this, but it is true, is that Slackware runs vanilla packages. Okay, it runs a vanilla kernel.
Oh, yeah.
It runs the vanilla, you know, the actual vanilla packages for whatever package that happens to be. And most other Linux distributions patch the living shit out of everything. So basically, there's more code, you know what I mean, in other distributions, which, of course, is going to make things run, a little bit slower. So
You know, that's another thing. If you look in, like, the source code for all the packages with Slackware, which is really easy to do because they're still divided up by disk sets and all, you'll see that some of them have some patches, but patches are generally kept very minimal.
All right.
You know, it's a bug fix, if a major bug or security patch, or, you know, a major interoperability patch. I'm surprised that word. Most of the other stuff that you'll see, especially with like Debian, which tends to patch a lot, just isn't there.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure how Gentoo handles all that. I don't, try out all the time. But
I don't know. I think Gentoo is good on that kind of stuff, but the problem with Gentoo is like that you have to compile it. You know what I mean?
Everything has to take compile. It takes forever.
You have to go through the whole damn process. You can't just like, you know, damn, I want XMMS and I don't have it.
It
runs, just grab the package.
It runs
and
great once you get it up and running, but it takes forever to freaking get it running.
Yeah.
But things like Debian, like you said, Debian patches heavily. Heavily.
They all patch heavily.
So does Red Hat and Fedora and all of those. So,
I don't know all that much about, you know, Red Hat and Fedora, but in, you know, Debian's defense, I think they do a lot of patching because they support so many different architectures.
Debian.
Whatever. I don't pronounce nothing real good.
You say vagina.
Come again?
Never mind, man. It's a bad joke, yeah.
Pat's mind's in the gutter again.
As always.
Now, I got to say, my Debian systems are slick, and they run...
I like Debian, man.
I mean, that's why I didn't bring it up when I said the other distributions, because I've not noticed too much of a speed difference with Debian. But, you know, Mandrake...
Mandrake, not exactly known as stability or speed king of the world. Now, I
Mandriva now, right?
Debian, really ever. Yeah, whatever. who knows what it's going to be.
Connect trait.
Somebody say I heard somebody say they were going to buy up Linspire and it'd be Manspire.
How manly.
You know, like, Mandrake, that's one I have tried before. I've tried Seuss before, and I didn't really like them because I couldn't ever really do anything with them. I wanted to, like, edit a config file, and I would see things like, do not edit this file.
Yeah, right. There.
That really turns me off because I'm like, well, how the hell am I supposed to figure this out?
Well, they want you to go through all their GUI tools to figure out how to do it.
Great conf.
Yeah. And the GUI tool does what? Edits the damn file anyway, right?
Yeah, what the hell are you doing there?
I've run Seuss, Mandrake. I used to run a bunch of Red Hat with my old job, you know, which was against my wishes. I run a little FreeBSD.
Yeah.
My laptop's OSX Panther. You know, I've run a lot of different things. Debian's just one I haven't tried. I did try it, like, years ago when I was still a Linux noob and couldn't get past the installer really well.
It's improved a lot.
I think everybody couldn't get past
it. It's much better than what it used to be. Let's be honest. Debian is pretty good, man. It's a solid distro, and the installer is much better than what it used to be.
Yeah,
I heard that with Sard, a new installer was a really big priority. I've heard they've done really good there.
The best thing,
I don't have any personal experience, so I won't comment.
The whole thing with Debian is you get all those packages. That's the key to Debian.
They're only a little outdated.
Yeah,
just a little.
Well, you know, getting packages hasn't really been an issue for me personally because I haven't had much trouble compiling anything with Slackware. You know, the whole app get install thing has really, you know, not been a big draw to me. I don't tend to install that many things after I do my initial installation anyhow. And then I usually keep around, you know, my own personal Slack packs.
Do you have MPlayer running?
No, I do not.
That's a fun
I don't really use a... Oh, yeah, that is a really fun compile.
Cintillare is a fun one, too.
Dan is the king of compiling.
Yeah, that's one I haven't played with either, Cintillare. I've never done much of it. I don't really use Linux on the desktop much, especially not since I got this laptop a couple years ago. And I intended to use Slackware on here with the Slackintosh port. If I couldn't do that, I intend to use, like, Crux or Gentoo. But it's a Broadcom Wi-Fi card.
Oh, yeah.
And there's absolutely no support in the Linux kernel for it. And I fell in love with the Wi-Fi. And I learned how to compile basically everything I wanted on OS X anyhow. Because, I mean, I don't really need KDE or GNOME because... most of my time I spend in the console anyhow, so it's not really that big a difference to me. It's basically like FXCE with Expose.
I haven't tried that yet. XFCE with Expose.
Use XFCE all the time.
XFCE is nice, man.
Yeah, well, which one of y'all is the...
No, wait a minute. Are you talking about...
Yeah, it is nice.
You'd run an XFCE on your X server.
No. I'm saying it's basically what I would be doing. If I was using Linux, I'd be using XFCE. And I'm doing basically the same things here.
Oh, okay.
I also have Expose, you know, under cores.
Okay, okay. Because you can run XFCE on top of OS X if you want to.
Yeah, but, you know, why would you?
I knew he was going to say that.
I don't know.
I've run Blackbox and Window Maker on top of it. That only lasted a couple of days. It's like, well, I got to be a pain in the ass going between that and Aqua. But, yeah. So, yeah, I think...
Yeah, for the few X apps I use, X11.app is good enough for me. You know, occasionally I'll fire up an old version of the GIMP just to add... like some text to a picture or something because I'm absolutely no graphic artist. And, you know, I use XMMS every now and again for, like, listening to some OGs. And really, that's about it. You know, everything else runs, you know, native under a terminal or has an OSX port.
We're big proponents of Linux on a desktop. We all run Linux on our desktops.
Yeah, I used to run it until I got this Mac. And, you know, like I said, I intended to run it, but, you know, without the Wi-Fi working there and the fact that most of my stuff is, you know, spent in the console, it's not that really that big a deal. Like, you know, I'm in your IRC room now. I'm running BitchX. You know, my FTP client is NickFTP. You know, it's basically the same tools I would use, except I use Mail.app and Safari instead of, you know, Thunderbird, Firefox. But I should probably say Mutt, Firefox, because Mutt's my second favorite mail client behind Mail.app. It's definitely the best, you know, console-based in my opinion.
Why are you running Firefox when you could be running Lynx?
Flash.
It's overrated.
No, yeah, some sites, you know, you just aren't going to render good in Lynx, and, you know, you need to read certain things in a graphical web browser. Yeah, it's just modern life.
I think Dan was joking.
If it doesn't run in Lynx, you can run it in Lynx.
L-I-A-K.
You should talk to Dan. Dan has an OS X laptop.
Big, if you like... yeah, if you like look at my source code for www.glizilla.net, you'll see that I'm a big fan of the best viewed by Telnet to port 80.
Yeah.
I try to keep my code very clean so it'll, you know, go fine in Lynx and other Lynx and whatever.
So what else are you up to these days? What's the next big project?
Buying a house. And what's my next big project?
Yep.
Moving.
You just bought a house.
Everything hooked back up. Yeah, but I haven't actually moved into it.
Moving all your crap.
So you closed, yeah, you closed, yeah, yesterday, you said?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Well, started closing like the day before. Yeah, closed yesterday, that's right. I've been so busy with all that, my days and nights and stuff are running together, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
The place I bought's not really in any sort of town that's incorporated or not. It's in a place called Salamander Town. And it's called that because there's only two things there, snakes and salamanders. And if you named it Snake Town, wouldn't nobody live there?
So it's basically bumfuck Georgia.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
When you pass my house, you see a sign that says entering middle of nowhere.
So you are in the middle of bumfuck Georgia, and you get DSL service.
That's all it counts.
Right?
You get special.
And Alan lived 2 miles away from Center City, Bethlehem, and they wouldn't
give me DSL.
They wouldn't even give you cable.
Bastards.
Two-way cable, would they?
Nope.
Holy mackerel.
I lived in Allentown for a while, and they wouldn't give me two-way cable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, for the longest time out here, the only sort of broadband available was satellite, which, you know, the latency through that is just through the roof, and one-way cable, which, you know, I never would sign on to anyhow, because, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose to me.
Really?
You can't send at any sort of speed. You can't perceive it any either. You know, your ACK packets are just, you know, it doesn't matter how much priority you give to them, you've still got, you know, some serious packet latency.
Yeah. So you affected it all by the storms that have been going through? The flooding?
You know, we've had some rain and stuff, and that may be, you know, part of the reason why my DSL's been kind of flaky lately. But it's actually not been really bad here. You know, we've had some storm, nothing like it was last year when them three hurricanes hit Florida. That was real bad. Ivan, you know, knocked down every tree in the day.
we got some really bad flooding up here from those storms. Well, the rivers came up.
Yeah, where y'all at?
The Delaware River came up really high by us. Down by Link lives in Easton, which is right on the Delaware River, man, and it was like blocks flooded out.
Yeah, we're in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, and it was, what, 50 miles north of Philadelphia.
70 miles west.
Yeah, the dry pond beside my house. Yeah, I was just saying the dry pond beside my house ain't dry no more. I don't know if it's going to go dry this year. But the old Mogi's definitely been above flood stage, and they're not expecting it to go down until Saturday.
Ugh. Well, we got to start closing things up here, Alan. Want to thank you very much for coming on and doing a fantastic job with the second edition.
Oh, ain't no trouble.
Of the Slackware book.
Well, I'm much obliged.
Good luck with all your moving. We appreciate your time.
That's right.
Taking your time to talk to us.
More great Slackware documentation to come, right?
Feel free to call back in anytime, too.
Sometime.
Slackware rocks.
Yeah, y'all have a good one.
You too, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for your support, and we'll talk to you soon.
Right. Take care.
Y'all be good.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're running out of time.
What time?
Well,
we're not on Bimlas, right?
It's time
Link's
for Aaron
here pointing to
his
come on. Listen, we were knocked off the air, man. Let's talk for a few minutes.
You know, I did want to bring something up.
What's that?
I don't know. I forgot now.
I know what I wanted to talk about.
No, I go ahead and talk about what you're doing because mine's in my...
Have you guys heard what Ian Murdoch is doing? They're doing a Linux standards base with for the Debian-based distros.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
They're going to try.
It's a good thing. And, you know, Ian made some really good points when we talked to him, and he's trying to get it done, you know. Ubuntu hasn't signed on, though. That's the big one.
They probably won't.
They probably
won't
now.
They probably won't.
Mandriva, which is currently used to be Red Hat, but there were rumors that they were going to Debian base. But supposedly they're not taking part. Linspire is. Which you can understand, you know. Their whole distro is based on Debian.
Right.
So, good luck to Ian.
Yes, indeed. Good luck to him. And I hope that he... it sounded like when we interviewed him, he sounded like a really well-grounded, intelligent
kind of guy. Very cool guy.
I really enjoyed talking with him. Boy, I wish he had kept... more control of the Debian project because he sounds like he's got a better head on his shoulders than some of the stuff they're doing now.
Some of the dicks that are in that project.
Yeah. So, but perhaps things, you know, maybe this will change things and get things going a little bit.
Yeah, he's a good man, Ian.
And, you know, we can expect to see some really cool stuff happen in the future with the Debian project and all the Debian offshoots. So,
Dan, take it away.
Stop
compiling.
We had a lug meeting last night.
We did. It was an awesome lug meeting.
It was really good, and we had some good discussions. Some of that stuff I wanted to talk about tonight, but of course, we definitely don't have any time, which, you know, we'll definitely talk about it more next week. More in the lines of Linux on the Linux overall adoption.
Yes.
It was really good conversations. Debian. Scribus. I was doing some more research in Scribus. On Scribus.
On the new one that just came out.
Well, it doesn't matter. I had commented last week about hyperlinks in Scribus.
Right.
And how it's not as intuitive as I thought it would be. The thing is, it's not an issue so much with Scribus, but it's with regards to PDF format. Okay. Scribus being a document layout application catering more towards the PDF format. It's a PDF issue, not so much a Scribus issue, but that's the way that they actually handle that. Because with PDF, you get annotations. It's not just you can create links with them. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. And what an annotation actually is a non-printed...
helps with some...
What's the word I'm looking for? It could be characters. It could be like you hover over it, and it would plop
it's
up a definition
a block
or a little, you know, a little bit of information. Yeah. It's non-printable, is what it tends to be. So that's one thing I learned in doing some more research on Scribus. Also, I had Notice what was kind of odd that I thought that every time when I'd start a new document in Scribus, there's a little thing that allows you to adjust text columns, and you can have like 1, 2, 3. And it was I was under the impression that when you would do this, that you would see like two text box side by side. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. And yesterday when I had talked to you out in the parking lot, I said, I wonder what would happen if you filled a text box in Scribus with more text than would fit in that text box. What happens is it gets cut off on the bottom. You only see the text box to the full size. Now, if you create a new document and you have two column text box, what that actually does is you only have one text box.
But it makes two columns of text.
Right. If you fill it all in all the way.
So now, you just make a big giant text box to fill a page up and select the number of columns in it.
Yeah, that's what it essentially does. Gotcha. Now, if you put a text box in there and your text overflows inside the box, you can select the properties of that and change it into a multi-column text box.
Aha.
Therefore, it would wrap it around onto the other side. You would have more text. And everything would be good again.
Cool.
Now, I had gotten an email, and I'm trying to think if whether it went to the tech show or not the past week when I was complaining about Debian getting here it goes from John Meuser, M-E-U-S-E-R, Aptrix. He had told me, he said, one of the problems I had was if I wanted to compile some software like Scribus last week, I had to find all the necessary dependencies. He said that using apt, there's a switch that you could use, apt-get build dep for Scribus, and if I put Scribus on there, what it would actually do would install all the dependencies required in building that package. So I would get the Scribus package development dependencies. Cool. It would drop them down on my system. And that would be for that version of Scribus, but chances are it would work for the newer version of Scribus. So that was pretty cool that he told me about that. And, yeah, it was neat because I would do an apt-get build dep on a certain package, and if I wanted to make sure I had all the necessary libraries to upgrade if I wanted to compile myself and try it out, that was good to go. So thank you for John for that. He also told me a nice little thing. If you go into the Etsy bash.rc, or if you edit your own .bashrc, you'll see this in there. It's commented out that if you uncomment it, it's a bash completion script edition.
Right.
For you could do like an apt-get, and you can type in Apache and hit tab twice. And like it would finish any other commands that begin with Apache, it'll list all the packages that begin with Apache and anything else that is in the Apache, like Apache, for instance, SSL or Apache developmental files or whatever you want. Anything that's Apache, be like Apache 2, Apache with PHP. So it would actually auto-complete apt-get. So that's pretty cool. I wanted to bring that up. Thanks for those tips. TLLCS Magazine.
Yes.
We're really going to start pushing forward. We got some excellent ideas for articles that we're going to start writing up. If you have any ideas of what you'd like us to write or talk about or, write up about. Somebody had mentioned the WV dial. We're planning on doing an article on that. Configuration using WV dial.
Definitely something on video.
Pat's doing something on video.
I'll do Kino.
If you have any tips, any artwork that you'd like to contribute to the magazine, send it on in.
Bring it on.
You don't have to write.
I'm taking the next 2 weeks off, man. So if any of you guys want to get together and work on something, let me know.
All right. Yeah. So you don't have to actually write a full article. You could just send in some tips and, we'll credit you with those tips. Cool.
Sure, a little mailbag section kind of thing, I mean, it's normally you get that on issue 2 because then people have something to write about. But if you have some questions already, send them in.
So, We're moving ahead.
We're working on it. Keep checking back at the website. Very soon, shortly, someday, I would imagine the website is going to roll over to the new design, which you can see now.
The Purdy design.
Yeah, at the tlls.info/test1.php. Link is in the IRC chat.
And we're going to be rolling out Asterix, hopefully by next week, right?
Yeah, something.
We'll post something on Asterix, and we'll hopefully get some calls going.
Yep.
All right,
full
folks.
Articles are welcome if you want to.
Yeah, definitely.
Write a full article. And yes, we'll be using scripts. Formats for the articles, it could basically be anything you want.
Text
to
file.
Send Word? Text file, preferably.
Send some pictures.
You can use OpenOffice. You can.
Yeah.
What about Word?
You can actually, if
HTML,
you really
if you want,
to,
write it in
Word
a web
too.
Page. Why the hell you would want to use Word, I don't know, but, you know, we have OpenOffice, so we could open it up if you did.
Well, Scrivis will import OpenOffice.
Yeah.
It'll import Word, too, if you have the right filters. But
send us your voicemails, people.
You know,
give
really,
us a call.
You don't want to send us it in Word, because we'll never let you let it down.
Probably not. We'll
in
have
fact,
to put
we'll
big disclaimers
put it in
on
there.
There.
Say, yeah, he actually sent
he
it
sent
to us.
He sent this to us as a Word doc, yeah.
Give us a call, people. Give us a voicemail. Let us know what you're thinking, what you're working on. What do you think of the show?
MS Works document.
Voicemail, emails.
Voicemails, everything.
Emails are good, you know. Hit the website. Check our stuff out. Comments, suggestions, tips. Artwork, please send artwork for the website, artwork for the magazine,
rants.
Artwork for whatever.
Send us MP3s.
And,
call us on the phone.
Visit the forums. We do actually, you know, read them most of the time.
I'm on there.
Pat's on there. Dan's on
Dan's
there.
On
I read a few times a week. I'll go through the
Alan
forums.
Alan is never on there.
Alan's on there once or twice a month. So
yeah, about that, yeah.
It'll be good. All right, listen, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
This concludes our episode 92 of the Linux Link Tech Show. Please come back. Join us next week where hopefully we won't have another power outage and you can hear us for the entire hour and a half.
What are we going to call this episode? The abortion or the power outage?
The power outage.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. I'm Link.
Dan.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Pat.
Good night.
You know, I think
good
we're going to roll out with the Crom thing.
We're going to roll out
Crom.
With the Crom thing. Okay.
Crom.
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 I've never prayed you before. I have no tongue for it. No one, not even you, will remember if we were good men or bad. Why we fought or why we died.
Dan's like mouthing the words over here. He knows every damn word. I'm telling you. It's like watching a movie, only Dan's Conan.
Arnold Schwarzenegger couldn't freaking speak a lick of English, man.
Grant me revenge.
If you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, you don't even speak English.
Grant me revenge. To hell with you.
To hell with you.
To hell with you.
To hell with you.
Are you a wizard?
Yeah,
you visit
me. Yeah. Listen to Diamond around Sushi. Sushi. Sushi, sushi.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
It's so nasty. Well, gag me with a furball.
The Linux League Tech Show.
You guys are so wimpy, I have nothing to compare you to.
How dare you stand there and criticize? Do you think I don't know what's going on around here?
Super tie.
Do you want to make your own choices?
The guy that plays
Super Tiger. Or do you want the state to make those choices for you?
Was he a stunt guy?
He
was the guy that played him. He was still in there. I forgot the story. No, the guy that played him, though. He looked Asian, but he was, like, really Mexican.
You know I'm going to tap that ass, right?